Welcome to Law Light, a quick dose of legal levity as we shine some light on the heartbeat of the legal field. Hi, I'm Melinda Delmonico, CEO of Gibson Arnold & Associates, and I'm joined today by Stacy Woods, e-discovery manager for Gibson Arnold. Stacy, welcome, and I'm so excited to be talking with you today. And our title is Artificial Intelligence versus Real Intelligence.
That's right. Thank you for having me here today, and thank you for setting this up. I'm happy to have this conversation with you.
So I think where I'd like to start, can you talk a little bit about what is the goal of artificial intelligence in the e-discovery world?
Absolutely. So as our society becomes more and more dependent on digital communication and data is very data driven, all of our business decisions, everything is very data driven these days. The various e-discovery platforms have been developing software and that can help to automate the gathering process. So when two companies are involved in litigation and it's time to make the go through the discovery process where they're giving the other side the information that they need in order to process the case in court, we need a way of being able to drill down through multiple layers of data and gather that information. So that's really what artificial intelligence is being applied to primarily these days in the e-discovery realm, is helping with the gathering process. And then a lot of the software platforms are developing what's called technology assisted review.
And so who's using this right now in the legal profession?
So almost everyone is using it. We're at this sort of tipping point where electronic discovery platforms are becoming more and more prevalent and ubiquitous in the practice of law and in litigation. But you do still have some companies, some agencies that are not using those, that don't have very sophisticated technology at their fingertips. For example, there is a case involving a municipal agency that was being sued by someone, and the plaintiff's lawyer had gone to the court and asked the court to order the municipality to use technology assisted review. And the judge essentially said, well, I agree with you, plaintiff's lawyer, that this whole process would be much easier and possibly more expedited if we were using technology assisted review. The software and the technology isn't so common yet, so prevalent, I can't force the defendant to use it. So we're not quite there yet, but we're definitely approaching that point.
You know, it's so interesting to hear that story because I've been in legal recruiting in the e-discovery world as well. And I shouldn't say e-discovery world, the review world.
Right.
For 28 years. And so when I first started at Gibson Arnold, we would provide contract and temporary paralegals for document coding, right? And so
right.
I just remember listening to in-house lawyers and listening to outside counsel to the fact that they would be dumped on with just boxes and boxes of documents. And so, you know, it's interesting because as time has passed, it'd be really helpful to understand how long this has been around. But also when you think about those paper documents and then shifting to electronic documents, it's like blown the doors off of paper documents with the volume of emails and so forth that corporations are having to maintain. So I'm just a little curious about how this unfolded and how long it's been around and how it's changing.
Yeah, absolutely. As our society has changed, so has the process of discovery. And so it has gone from what you were talking about in terms of where, you know, smaller plaintiffs would be at a significant disadvantage if they were suing a much larger company with deeper pockets who could just bury them, literally bury them with discovery of those, you know, boxes and boxes of discovery. And now you have to transition, we're transitioning to the place where that whole process is becoming, it has been become digitized. And so now we're talking about electronically stored information, where it's the electronic equivalent or analogy of those boxes and boxes of discovery. And so the technology assisted review is great at helping people filter through what actually needs to be reviewed and what actually needs to be considered as part of the discovery process. But it's not a perfect science yet. We're not, there's still some questions and some concerns about accuracy and how that process goes.
So to that note, is the technology effective, and what does work well and what doesn't?
Absolutely. And so, since we have started moving over, I think the first case that talked about technology assisted review and artificial intelligence and machine learning, those kinds of things, started in around 2005. It's when you started seeing a lot of litigation about where the courts were trying to make sense of this new technology and how to apply it and how to use it to make the system efficient, more efficient. And as I said, in my personal opinion as a document review manager and things that I've seen in this world, is that the technology assisted review is fantastic for that gathering process. And it's being used everywhere. It's being used to review contracts. It's being used to manage contracts. It's being used to even in the criminal context of predicting case outcomes and sentencing outcomes, things like that. Even, some municipalities are using them to handle parking ticket disputes. But at the end of the day, I feel like there's still something to be said for having real human intelligence when you're reviewing documents, and having lawyers who have litigation experience and the right education and the right experience behind them to make those ultimate decisions about what's important in a case and what needs to be a part of that discovery process. And that's what we're doing with the review process. So we're at this tipping point where we're trying to, many of the companies that are doing the e-discovery platforms are working more and more towards implementing purely artificial intelligence technology assisted review process and cutting the actual people out of the process, but we're not quite there yet.
So is it the algorithm that needs to become more sophisticated? What is it that would cause us to be able to fully go into an artificial intelligence world,
right,
and know that you're getting 100% accuracy? Because with what you just described, it doesn't sound like it's 100% accurate.
It is not. And there's actually, there's an organization called the Sedona Conference that is really a collection, a group of attorneys and judges throughout the country who are kind of setting the standard for a lot of these discovery processes and influencing the litigation and the rules of like the federal court discovery rules and things like that. And right now we're really at a point where we look at 80% accuracy as being pretty good. That's pretty much the standard where we're at right now. And what you're talking about in terms of 100% accuracy, the way that we have to do that is to level up in terms of, right now, artificial intelligence is primarily dependent on the algorithms that the software programmer or coder has written into the program. So the computer is only looking for and can only analyze things that it's been told to do through the algorithm. And the next step, the next phase that we're slowly creeping into is, or actually rather quickly creeping into, is that we're trying to create computer programs and artificial intelligence that can go that one step further so that it's not dependent strictly on the factors that have been included as part of the algorithms and its base coding, but where it can look at various documents and start to see patterns and start to make decisions based on what, so the computer itself is making the judgments about what's next and what's consistent and what's not consistent. So it's, and that's that sort of natural learning process. That's sort of been the difference between the key distinguisher between artificial intelligence and real intelligence is being able to take things to another level. And we're seeing that more and more in our day-to-day lives with natural language processing, things like Siri and, you know, our little Amazon speakers in our house. And you say, hey, Alexa, you know, turn on, play this music or play this podcast. And so the technology is evolving every day and it's getting better and better, but we're not quite there yet where we can completely rely on that process.
That's interesting because I know that in our history, we've done hundreds of reviews, right, over the years.
Right.
And when we first started with providing contract lawyers for document reviews, we would have 50 lawyers for a full year doing a review.
Right.
And then as predictive coding has come on board and artificial intelligence, we now have, it's almost like, and I want you to talk a little bit about the databases. It's like the database calls it down significantly, and then we provide the lawyers for more of a high-level review.
Exactly.
To continue in that process. So our review time, where we would spend a year on a review, now it might be 4 weeks on that same project because of the changes. So I understand about the artificial intelligence, but I also know that these platforms that we're utilizing and the interconnection between the predictive coding and the databases and culling down and everything that a company does beforehand and giving the data has shifted. And so I'd like to hear kind of your thoughts about, you know, what you're seeing with these databases and how that is interplaying with all of this.
Absolutely. And so that whole process of having the e-discovery platform cull down the number of documents that people have to actually review is called continuous active learning. And so basically what's happening now is that the attorney reviewer is interfacing with the technology-assisted review and helping the computer to learn what's relevant and what's not relevant and where it can apply certain information to other documents and make certain assumptions about the groups of documents and the family of documents and things like that. It works great and it is more efficient in that regard, but I still have a lot of concerns about needing to have a set of human eyes and somebody with real experience looking at the document and making the final determination of what goes in and what doesn't go in, what to the discovery, to what's ultimately discovered on the other end.
And can you give a few examples? Have you seen actual situations where we've kind of saved the day because the technology didn't pick up information?
Yeah, absolutely. So especially in when you're dealing with compliance-based issues and data privacy issues where having a higher level of accuracy is more important, I think that is especially where we can make a difference in performing what we call a quote-unquote manual review where we have actual attorneys looking at documents. We had a particular project where they had done a technology-assisted review and gathered documents after a data breach had occurred. So someone had gotten into this company's computer interface, their network, and possibly seen information that was protected. And so the law firm that was helping the company comply with the notice requirements of that state contacted us and asked us to do a manual review. But they said, you only have to review this certain segment of documents because we've already put it through the technology assisted review. And these are the only things that are relevant. Well, lo and behold, throughout the process of doing the review, we came to see that a lot of the documents that weren't tagged for us as needing review actually had protected information like social security numbers that needed to be collected so that we could comply, the end client could comply with the notice requirements. And that was something that wouldn't have happened if the law firm handling the case and if the client had just relied on the technology assisted review, there was protected information that could have been compromised that those people wouldn't have gotten notice about. So we're getting closer to being able to rely on artificial intelligence, but we're not quite there yet.
So one question I have, so I know that these services are provided to both corporations and law firms. When you look for lawyers to do reviews, can you describe who you would hire for one of these projects and how would they go about joining a review?
Absolutely. So generally what happens is, Gibson Arnold has been in the legal staffing space since the 1980s. And so we already have a database of lawyers that we work with on a regular basis, but we're always getting resumes from new people who are looking to get involved in doing doc reviews and things like that. And so generally we get contacted by a client who needs assistance on doing a document review, either for a data breach, like that example that I just gave you, or an ongoing litigation project. And then we look into our list of attorneys that we've worked with, and we find the people who we think would be most efficient and most capable of assisting and adding value to that review process, whether it's a database breach or whether it's a litigation document review.
And so if I am a candidate, what kind of skills do I need to have in order to participate on a litigation review?
Having had some real life experience with litigation, either through law school, as a lot of the law school training programs are doing now, or as a first or second year associate at a firm, and knowing, being able to intuit what is going to be important and what is going to be salient information is really what we're looking at. So good judgment, intelligence, having gone through that process of going to law school, passing the bar, having had some real world experience. Those are the things that we want to see.
Yeah. And I would probably pipe in and just add, in addition to that, when I have watched the reviews over the years, people that follow the instructions that are being given.
Definitely. Especially when we're doing the data breach reviews, it's extremely important that people really look for the information that we're talking about so that the company whose information stores has been broken into can comply with the law and do the notifications that they need to do of anyone whose Social Security information has been possibly compromised or whose protected health information has been possibly compromised. And so we really need people who can follow those directions and understand how important it is to capture every Social Security number, to capture every bit of protected health information. And that is about following instructions and really respecting the process.
So Stacey, if a corporation or a law firm needed assistance with a review, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Absolutely. The best way to get in touch with me is to go to the Gibson Arnold website, www.gibsonarnold.com, and look me up. I'm the Stacey Woods, the eDiscovery manager. You can find my phone number and just pick up the phone and give me a call or shoot me an email, whatever is more convenient for you. Always happy to talk about potential projects.
Stacey, thank you. This has been brilliant. I am so grateful to be educated on this topic today and so delighted. It's and really interesting information and so interesting to hear how this world is changing and what's going to be happening in law with artificial intelligence. So thank you so much.
Definitely. Thank you, Melinda.
A brand new day, and we'll be making history. Are you with me? Won't you stay? We have come so far. This is who we are, and like the rising sun, we have just begun to play our part. This is the time we form the chorus. Lift your voice for those before us. We can rely on one another. Feel the pride, let's show.